one nation under God. Psalm 33, let's begin with verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the seas together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Lord, I pray that you'd guide the message today, that it would glorify you and that it would stir our hearts, not only for our nation, but for the responsibility we have as citizens of this land and as the responsibility we have as your children in this world. Lord, help us, encourage us and challenge us. And Lord, I pray that you would bring this nation, draw this nation back to you. Lord, I pray that there would be a revival in this land, not just in legislation in terms of morality being upheld and the life of the unborn and common sense morals in this nation, but Lord, far more than that, a turning to you, a renewal of passion for God and for truth, for your word, for souls. Lord, I pray for your people across this land, from this church to other churches scattered around this nation, Lord, that you would turn the hearts of your people back to you. The things of this world are very distracting and are always detrimental to the health of Christians. Lord, I pray that you would just work in this nation. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. One nation under God. In the Pledge of Allegiance is one place that you will find the description of one nation under God, pledging allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And so, a nation under God. We do see scripturally in Psalm 33 here how the Bible describes the blessedness of a nation whose God is the Lord, the blessedness of a people who have recognized God as their Lord, as their Savior, as their protector, as their strength. And so is the importance that we in America and we as individual citizens recognize the vitality of knowing, loving, and trusting the eternal God. He is the creator of heaven and earth, and he is the one who is watching. We notice in verse 13, it says, the Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. Let us never forget that God knows what's happening in this world. God knows the climate we live in and what's going on in our land. And God knows what's going on in our life. Let us be faithful. From the place of his habitation, verse 14 says, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. There is not a single inhabitant that is left out from God's observation and his care about that person. And so let us fear the Lord. Let us depend on him. The Bible says in Psalm 11, verse 3, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, my friend, in the United States of America, there has been much erosion upon the foundation of this nation. But we still have a nation that has been founded upon by God-fearing men and women and upon biblical principles. I quote from President Ronald Reagan, who said these words in 1984. He said, without God, there is no virtue because there is no prompting of the conscience. Without God, there is a coarsening of the society. Without God, democracy will not and cannot endure. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. And so, as we this week will celebrate the 242nd birthday of the United States of America, with humble beginnings, but beginnings in prayer, beginnings by men who risked their lives for faith in a God, a creator God, our founding fathers. And so, first of all, this morning, as we think about the birthday of this nation, I want you, number one, to not forget our founding. Number one, forget not our founding. A godly heritage has been given to us. God calls us to remember. But first, before we look to the Word of God in some admonitions to remember, I want to notice the Declaration of Independence and a few words in that. Notice what it says here. In 1776, that's a painting, I believe done in the 1800s, of that meeting, there where the Declaration of Independence was signed. And part of the Declaration says this, quote, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Created. I want you to notice that. And we can find evidence throughout the founding documents of a reference to God and the Creator and the Almighty, his deity, his lordship, his power, sovereignty amongst the people. But you notice it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And so the belief in the Creator God is certainly present throughout the founding documents. A fear of God is throughout our nation's heritage and founding. I want you to notice what the Scripture says. I'll just read a number of verses, how God encourages us to remember, to remember. Exodus 13:3, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which he came out from Egypt. Remember this day in which he came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by the strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. For by the strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out of this place. Remember. Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Numbers 15, 39. Remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring. Numbers 15:40, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Deuteronomy 7, verse 18, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh, unto all Egypt. And so we see a number of times God challenging his people, the nation of Israel specifically, to remember what God had done in the past. Remember what I've done for you. Remember what I've commanded to you. Remember how I delivered you. Remember who I raised up for you. Remember. Also continuing, Deuteronomy 8 verse 2 says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. As we think about citizens on this 242nd birthday of our nation, it would do us well to remember. To remember the heritage, to remember the God-fearing men who came to this land seeking religious liberty primarily, seeking to serve God, seeking to know God, and to practice their faith. Verse 18 of Deuteronomy 8 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Deuteronomy 32 verse 7, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations, ask thy father and he shall show it thee, thy elders and they will tell thee. God says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Joshua 1 verse 13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. 1 Chronicles 16:12. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Psalm 103, verse 18. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Isaiah 46:8. Remember this and show yourselves men. Isaiah 46:8. Also verse 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Jude, verse 17 and following, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last times, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Remember, we are told more than 200 times in the Bible to remember. Remember, remember, and it would do us well to not forget our founding as the United States of America, a land of people who feared God, a land that was built upon godly, a biblical framework. America's faith has been not in Allah, not in Buddha, or some other idol of the world, but rather in the living God, the supreme creator and sustainer of all things. This is etched on the monuments of our country. First of all, I'd like you to notice the U.S. Capitol building. In the U.S. Capitol building, there is no other building in Washington that defines the skyline like this does. It has been a place of formal inaugurations as well as informal and spontaneous events. One such spontaneous event was the gathering of 200 members of Congress after the crashes on 9/11 The day following, 200 Congress members gathered on the steps for an informal meeting of prayer and singing, "God Bless America." President George Washington laid the cornerstone for the Capitol building in 1793. Although there has been addition certainly to the building and all that, there's been changes over the years, but in 1793, President George Washington, the first president of the United States, laid the cornerstone for the Capitol building. In the Capitol building, as you can see on the far right of your screen, is a picture of the pilgrims seeking God in prayer and fasting. This is displayed in the rotunda amongst a number of other pictures, which some of Columbus, for example, and others. Well, you can also see in the Capitol building more references to God and faith. In the Cox Corridor, a line from America the Beautiful is carved in the wall. Quote, "America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea." In the House chamber is the inscription, "In God we trust," as you can see on the left of the screen. "In God we trust." Also in the House chamber, above the gallery door, stands a marble relief of Moses, the greatest of the 23 lawgivers. And so there's small image there in the middle of the screen is that relief of Moses. Also, at the east entrance of the Senate chamber are the words "Annuit Corpitis," which is Latin for "God has favored our undertakings." The words "In God we trust" are also written over the south entrance. In the Capitol's chapel is a stained glass window depicting George Washington in prayer under the inscription, "In God we trust." Also, a prayer is inscribed in the window which says, "Preserve me, God, for in thee do I put my trust." And these are just a few in the U.S. Capitol building of those references to God and those testimonies to the God-fearing, God-seeking men and women as well who had a part in the founding of this nation. The Washington Monument. The tallest monument in Washington, D.C. is the Washington Monument. From the base of the monument to its aluminum capstone are numerous references to God. This is fitting since George Washington was a religious man. When he took the oath of office on April the 30th, 1789, he asked that the Bible be opened to Deuteronomy 28. After the oath, Washington added, "So help me God," and bent forward and kissed the Bible before him. Construction of the Washington Monument began in 1848. It was not completed until 1884. A Latin phrase on the east side of the capstone says, "Laus Deo," which means "Praise be to God." The cornerstone of the Washington Monument includes the Holy Bible, which was a gift from the Bible Society. Along with it, copies of the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. The monument is full of carved tribute blocks which say, "Holiness to the Lord, search the Scriptures, the memory of the just is blessed. May heaven to this union continue its beneficence." These are individual carvings, tribute blocks, that one would see in the Washington Monument. Also, including these engravings, "In God we trust," "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it," among others. During the first meeting of the Continental Congress in September 1774, George Washington prayed alongside the other delegates, and they recited Psalm 35 together as patriots. George Washington also proclaimed the first National Day of Thanksgiving in the United States of America. In 1795, he said, "When we review the calamities which have afflicted so many so many other nations, the present condition of the United States affords much matter of consolation and satisfaction. He therefore called for a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. He said, "In such a state of things, it is an especial manner our duty as people, with devout reverence and affectionate gratitude, to acknowledge our many and great obligations to Almighty God, and implore Him to continue and confirm the blessings we experience." So clearly, George Washington and the Washington Monument is there to give testament to the God-fearing founding of our nation. Also, please notice the Lincoln Memorial. The idea of the memorial of the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, had been discussed almost within days after his assassination. But lack of finances proved to be a major factor. Finally, Congress allocated funds for it during the Taft administration. Architect Henry Bacon wanted to model it after the Greek Parthenon, and work on it was completed in 1922. Lincoln's speeches are displayed within the memorial, which on the left side is the Gettysburg Address, only 267 words long. He said, "We are here highly resolved that these dead shall have not died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom." On the right side of Lincoln's second inaugural address, which is only 703 words long, it mentions God 14 times and quotes the Bible twice. He reflected on the fact that the Civil War was not controlled by man, but rather by God. He noted that each side looked for an easier triumph and a result less fundamental and astounding. Both read the same Bible and prayed to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other, Lincoln said. Another thing Lincoln said was the firmness. With firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, and many, many more references, including scripture and such. The Jefferson Memorial. Thomas Jefferson was America's third president and one of the drafters of the Declaration of Independence. So it is surprising that memorial to him was not built earlier, but it was built in 1934. When you enter the Jefferson Memorial, you will find many references to God. A quote that runs around the interior dome says, "I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the minds of men." Also, the Declaration of Independence, on the first panel, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator," capital C, "with certain unalienable rights, which among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." On the second panel is an excerpt from the Bill Establishing Religious Freedom, 1777. It reads, "Almighty God hath created the mind free," and other things. It says later on, "are a departure from the plan of the holy author of our religion, God." It reads also, in some of the notes from Jefferson's 1785 writing is there in his memorial, and it says, "God who gave us life gave us liberty." The Supreme Court. Of the three branches of government, the Supreme Court was the last to get its own building. In fact, it met in the Capitol building for over 100 years. During that time, it met in many different rooms in the Capitol until it finally settled in the old Senate chamber in 1860, the Supreme Court Justice William Howard Taft, who also had served as president, presided Congress to authorize funds for the Supreme Court building, which was built in 1935. It is ironic that the Supreme Court has often issued opinions which have stripped religious displays from the public square, when these opinions have been read in a building with many religious displays itself. And it is ironic that public expressions of faith have been limited when all sessions of the court begin with the court's marshal announcing, God save the United States and this honorable court. In a number of cases, the Supreme Court has declared the posting of the Ten Commandments unconstitutional in public school classrooms and in a local courthouse in Kentucky. But this same Supreme Court has a number of places in its building where there are images of Moses with the Ten Commandments. These can be found at the center of the sculpture over the east portico of the Supreme Court building, inside the actual courtroom, and finally engraved over the chair of the Chief Justice and on the bronze doors of the Supreme Court itself. Numerous images and references to the Ten Commandments. And so we can see in just a few of our nation's monuments appropriate references. I also notice one more, and that's the Liberty Bell, which has a scripture verse on it. That's, of course, in Philadelphia. All those other ones were in Washington, D.C. But this is exactly what's on the Liberty Bell. The verse goes around the rings here at the top, and it says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And it is a quote from the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, and verse 10. And so we see throughout our nation, engraved in its buildings, written for all to see, we see indications of the biblical fear of God that generations past have had. And so, first of all, as we think about one nation under God, forget not our founding. Forget not our founding. And obviously there were those in generations past who wanted us not to forget. Secondly, forget not our God. Forget not our God. The God this nation has been blessed by, and the God this nation has been dependent on, is the true and living God of the Bible. Please go to Deuteronomy 6. Of course, this is talking about the nation of Israel, but please notice in Deuteronomy 6, it says, verse 1, "Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it." I realize it's talking about the nation of Israel and it's talking about the Holy Land, which is not the same thing as the United States in any way, shape, or form. America is not the new Israel. The church is not the new Israel in any way, shape, or form. But just noticing some of the wisdom and the parallels. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." And so we are to teach the next generation about God. And we'll skip forward a little bit. Verse 9, "Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Very appropriate that our national monuments and buildings have references to the truth and to God and all that. And verse 10, "And it should be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full, and all good things which thou fillest not." I think in parallel, for this generation today, we have been given an infrastructure, a nation that we did not build. We've been given the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the freedom of this nation that we did not fight for, as it were. It was handed to us. And we see a generation so many times squandering what God has given. And so notice God's warning to his people here, Israel. He says in verse 11, "And houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. And when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Beware, lest thou forget. I want you to notice George Washington's prayer. The first president of the United States is recorded praying this prayer. "Almighty God, We make our earnest prayer that thou wilt keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou wilt incline the hearts of citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with the charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and without a humble imitation of whose example in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. We can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we see the clarity of our founding father, George Washington. Also, I want you to notice that even today, in the money that is printed by this nation, by the treasury, all has "In God We Trust" printed on it, which is certainly a trust that we are concerned is waning, but should be our trust. And so a testimony there again. I'd like to share just a couple of statistics from the Christian Law Association in a recent survey regarding our nation, regarding America's faith. Those in the United States of America over the age of 65 are 70% of that class of people, that group of people, 70% of them are absolutely certain that there is a God in the survey. 65% of them say that their religion is very important to them. In the next age group, age 50 to 64, it takes a little bit of a drop. 69% are sure that there is a God. 59% believe that religion is important to them. In the next age bracket, age 30 to 49, only 62% believe there is a God, and only 51% believe that religion is important. In the next age bracket of 18 to 29 years old, only 51% of people believe there is a God. In the United States of America, age 18 through 29, 51% believe there's a God, and only 40% believe that religion is important in their lives. And so we see a continual decline in our nation in the different age brackets. We see a breakdown of those who believe there's a God, those who believe that, and of course we're talking just a very broad survey here as far as religion or anything like that, of what kind of religion. But nevertheless, we see in the generations a shift of less trust, less dependence, less assurance upon a God, upon any kind of God. And so we need to remember our God. And so that brings us to the last point. Forget not our purpose. In an aimless or misguided world, we must recognize our calling before God to shine His lights in this dark world. We look to men like George Washington and others who are founding fathers of our nation with admiration for their courage. But where is ours for this generation's battle? Where is ours to take up the torch where they left off, to stand for one nation under God? We need to pray for our land as God has instructed us. We need to preach the gospel in our land as God has called us to. We need to stand for the right as God gives us to see the right. And so loving God first and foremost, loving others, living a life to glorify God. The Lord said to in the book of Micah, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." To be faithful to God's call. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards them. God is still looking for some Abraham Lincolns, for some George Washingtons, for some Benjamin Franklins to do right in their generation. And so, as we celebrate America's 242nd birthday, let's remember what we've been given. And let's remember the call God has on our life for this time and this day. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the heritage you've given to us. And help us in the celebrations to remember, and in the days following, in this year, in the remainder of it, and in the opportunities of our life, that we would be men of valor and women of valor. We would live for you and honor Christ. That we would have a clear testimony and would lead others to the Savior. Please help us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.